fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger, unafraid, right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution, revolution, radio!
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Rock and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Revolution Radio Studio A, Sunday, July 5th, 4:06 p.m. my time, 6:06 p.m. your time. We're going to do a roundtable here. I'm going to grab a couple people. There was a bit of open air, and we're going to take it from here. And we'll see what happens. There's lots to talk about. So is somebody on the air with me there? What's going on here? Did I? Okay, so you don't want in. Okay, so let me grab Deacon. Let me grab Hijacker, and let's talk out this this stuff. Okay. So, yeah, welcome to Sunday. I've just been at prayers all afternoon. They do prayer meetings up here on the mountain. When somebody passes, and so this one was for my father-in-law who passed about 4 months ago, and my nephew who passed last Sunday. And so, yeah, it's quite something, you know, when you just go through a cycle of prayers. I think it's Catholic, you know, I was raised a Catholic, but I kind of like forget a lot of that stuff now. So, hey, Deacon, how you doing?
How are you today?
Not too bad. Grab Hijacker, and let's the three of us. Hey, John Wayne, how you doing? Grab Hijacker.
Let's see if I can find him. I don't know if he's online. Let me send him a message here.
John Wayne, how are you?
not bad, just relaxing here and just nothing special. Just what are you up to today?
Oh, as I was saying there, I was just at a prayer meeting all afternoon that they do in my community for the deceased. And so we had a death in the family last Sunday, and then my father-in-law. It's okay. It's a natural way of life up here. And then my father-in-law, he died at 87 4 months ago. So a priest comes up and they go through the rosary, and you sit there and you recite the prayers, and there's a bit of singing. I think in the Latino tradition, it's for the spirit on the other side. It's offering prayers. So they get to a good place. I don't want to be crass, but I would say it's almost like currency on the other side. So that's what, that's what they do.
Kind of like in ancient times when they would put a coin in your mouth and the ferryman would take you across the river.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But praying for the dead is important, right? You know, and I think it's important. I think the energy we generate when we're alive, the spiritual energy, it is a kind of currency. And so, you know, anyways, it's part of my culture up here. And, you know, I got to put on a collared shirt, shave, shower, and, you know, pair of jeans, a pair of boots, clean myself up and go over and pray for 3 hours. It's not the worst thing that could happen to you on a Sunday afternoon, Deacon.
Right. Yeah, that's Central and South America, they're big Catholics, right? Catholic Church, right?
Evangelicism has moved in here huge. I would say it's as big, it's a major rival to the Catholic Church now.
Wow.
My wife is evangelical. Most of my neighbors, the church, I go to an evangelical church. They do a service every Thursday. It's been shut down with COVID. I like to go to the service. It's very interesting to hear the Bible in Spanish, right? It's I don't know why that fascinates me so much, but it does. Getting the biblical language in another language, Spanish. And it's like, look, it's where all the good people go to. All the good people in this part of the world go to church. So if you want to meet good people and do business with good people, you go to church. And I don't mean to make a church sound like a Masonic lodge here. I got to watch everything I say. There's a double edge to everything, Deacon. I'm just going to stop talking now. Go ahead, somebody else.
John Wayne.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. I'll tell you, last night after my broadcast went to my mom and dad's. I mean, you talk about fireworks. My goodness. I mean, people were lighting these things off everywhere. I mean, the whole skyline was just filled with fireworks. And, you know, I haven't seen so many fireworks, I don't think, in my entire life, you know. And I was catching some of Jones just a little bit ago. Here I was saying a while back, you know, I don't listen to him all that often. I've been listening here a little bit more frequently, I guess, within the past several days. And they did a helicopter view from a news helicopter in Los Angeles. Yeah, I think it was L.A. And, I mean, it was amazing. Fireworks, you know, to the hell with these people and their dictatorial, tyrannical rules, you know. And then a lot of things taking place in Gettysburg, but I don't know where you guys want to go or what you want to talk about.
Wherever you guys want to. You guys lead, and somebody lead. Go ahead,
Deacon. Let's go with some of your topics. I just wanted to throw out there. I finally got to the point where I decided to do some research on who they are. We keep saying they, the elites. So I started off with a little bit of dated material from Fritz Springmeier. I know he's just controversial and spent some time in prison, but I just wanted to get a flavor of what some of these folks have said over the past few decades about the Illuminati. And I just started to scratch the surface, so I'm not ready to talk about it in any depth right now, but that's kind of where I'm at right now. But John, you've got some more concrete issues to deal with, huh?
Well, you know, I've been thinking, you know, I had somebody send me about Gettysburg, and I'd done a little bit of kind of small report or, you know, mentioned it on air about how they was going to have a big, I don't know if you want to call it a rally or what the hell it was, but white militias basically were standing squared off with a black militia, and everybody was armed. Yeah, I mean, they weren't squared off as in fighting, but there was two separate groups, a black militia. See, and the thing is, I'm not trying to pinpoint anything. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it, because we're these black people for the Constitution and good people that stand for, you know, the rights of the people and the statues, the monuments, or were these, you know, an opposition force, so to say, to like the white militias that showed up to protect Stone Mountain and, you know, the Gettysburg land. So, I mean, there's some articles. I haven't read through all of them yet. I mean, there's all kinds of news out, man. I mean, the news is just insane. It's off the charts, you know, and getting into these we and who they are or them or they or whatever you want to call them. These, you know, this Ghislaine Maxwell thing, you know, I mean, it's like, it's damned weird. Everything is like in a damn time loop. You know, here we are, you know, COVID's back. Oh God, you know, run, hide, put your mask on. You know, now Epstein, it's not Stein. He died in the jail cell, and I get people saying, well, you know, we're concerned for Ghislaine Maxwell's life because she has a lot of dirt on a lot of powerful people.
Yeah. You know, may I?
Go ahead. Absolutely.
That's an excellent starting point for a roundtable. Okay. Trump is going to take a beating when Ghislaine Maxwell starts talking. Okay, if any, there's a crackerjack independent journalist out there by the name of Whitney Webb. She lives in Chile, actually. She's an American expatriate. She kind of did what I did, not living off in farmland, but, you know, Santiago is a beautiful city, actually. But she moved to Chile, and she works as a writer there. And she used to work for the Mint Press, and now she's with, I forget what it is. I bookmarked it. I'll tell you in a minute. But she interviewed Maria Farmer, and Maria Farmer was somebody who lived in Epstein's life for about 7 or 8 years. She wasn't a minor, but she did work there, and she has a lot of stories to tell. And Whitney Webb started doing a lot of research, and she has access to journalistic databases. Just like police have databases, there are journalistic databases out there. I think anybody can access them it's a monthly fee or something, right? And what she did was she found that when you were looking through all the newspapers in the United States, all the print journalism, magazine and newsprint, and you did a search for Jeffrey Epstein. If you just do Jeffrey Epstein, anything will come up, right? There's all kinds of Jeffrey Epsteins. When you do Jeffrey Epstein with a title, that's when you get your results, okay? So from 2002, and this is all media culture through public relations agencies, right? So from 2002 onwards.
Hey, Bruce, for a second, I don't want you to drop anything.
Epstein plus philanthropist. And then from about 2010 onwards, Jeffrey. But what she figured was.
I think we might have a delay, and yeah. You're breaking up some. I don't want you out. To. Yeah, you're coming in and out, but I don't want to lose.
All right, take over. No, take
over. Well, I mean, I don't want to lose where you were going and what you were saying, but I'll hold on to it. Yeah, see if you can get that squared away, your connection, because I think, you know, he's putting some things together and some pieces of the puzzle together. See, I was listening to this guy who was broadcasting on another platform, a fill-in guest host, and he was saying, you know, talking about the pilot for Epstein. So let's see if that fixed with Bruce. I don't want you to drop from where you were at, though. Go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, let's see what kind of a connection I have here. Should be okay now. I don't see poor connection. So what Jeffrey Epstein was mainly doing in the 90s was property development. And so into the database and you search Jeffrey Epstein and property development, he comes up a lot with Trump. And Maria Farmer is saying that Trump was at the mansion quite a bit. And she was saying that Ghislaine Maxwell used to go troll for chicks at the high schools. For young teenage girls at the high school, they used to drive by high schools like a couple guys on the sex predator list. And her stalwart companion in this for quite some time, like over a year, was Ivanka Trump. And so we're quickly reaching a point where the reputation of Trump, it's like he's going to hang by the rope, the noose he made himself. I don't know if this was a part of the original plan or what. But I don't see how he's going to be able to get out from under this. Now, for my part, I haven't lost faith in Trump or the plan, okay? I've always had a different take on Trump. What happened with Trump was the Christian narrative took it over early on. And you can go back and you can listen to the shows. People were comparing him to King Cyrus, all kinds of Christian analogies, okay?
Crazy.
I always saw Trump kind of as Sammy the Bull Gravano. Now, if you don't know who Sammy the Bull was, he was the guy who finally put away John Gotti. They needed somebody that deep in the organization to give testimony to finally incarcerate John Gotti. My take on Trump is that the Trump movement and what he's trying to do is real. But in many ways, let's say that he's the first man in. He made his deal 10 years ago. Or here's another way of looking at it. I think Trump went all the way and then turned away at the same line that Ronald Bernard, the Dutch banker, turned away at, which was child sacrifice. Because you're introduced to this culture in layers and degrees. Okay? So it starts with a little partying. It starts with whatever, wife swapping or... And then it just goes from there. And finally, when you're in the inner circle, it's about human child sacrifice, and it's fully satanic Luciferian. This is the testimony of Ronald Bernard. I'm well familiar with all of the testimony of Fritz as well, Deacon. And I don't know if you're aware, but I just finished a book, Light of Darkness, A Warrior's Tale for Our Time, which documents the encroachment of Satanism into our core institutions, beginning in the 1600s with the Bank of England. And it's a fully satanic system now. And so I think this is what happened to Trump. And some people are going to say I'm being too easy on him. Some people are going to say I'm being too hard on him, because it's impossible to talk about Trump without, you know, people going haywire, either way, either in support of him or in contempt of him. But my take... Trump saw what was going on, and for 80-90% of it, the chicks, I don't think he's a pedophile, you know, I think he probably likes chicks, you know, I think 16, 17, stuff like that, but that's only one layer in this cult, and I think at a certain initiatic point, Trump said, that's it, I'm out, I'm a human being, I see what these people are about now, and he kind of did a U-turn. That's my take. What do you guys think?
Wow. I'll throw it to John in a minute. But I think, look, they had, what was that attorney's name that they fired, Barr fired last week, a week or two in Southern District of New York? Berman, was that his name? So he was not, so the story goes, the theory goes, that he was not pursuing and arresting her. And I think that maybe this plays into what you're saying. Maybe that the Trump's opponents wanted to keep her on ice to bring her out, and Berman was protecting that witness against Trump, or that someone to tell all against Trump, and Trump has to get rid of her. So now if she commits suicide in prison, okay, then you'll know that Trump had fired this attorney who's off for the other side. I call him a Democrat attorney, for lack of a better term, and he went in and they swooped her up because they got to shut her up, just like did Epstein. That's the working hypothesis I have on her. Go ahead.
Well, and the thing is that they do whack her. Well, then that goes ahead and lays for open proceedings for whatever information that they have garnered, depending on if they've garnered any information at all. But remember, you know, they let her go and let her run for quite some time. So was she being allowed to be let go and run so she could destroy evidence or to acquire more evidence before she was brought in? You know, now Prince Andrew is probably sweating profusely right now, you know, with all of this going on.
Well, think about it. I mean, yeah, that's right. I mean, can you imagine they had to give up a pawn, the royal family, one of their princes, they had to give up a pawn. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I heard something like, I mean, I've got all kinds of news feeds that where I have news being, you know, coming across all day. I just, you know, scan off the phone, look. It's like, oh, my goodness, okay. Or it's like, okay, what the hell? Why is this even news? But, you know, there's something come across the news feed where Prince Andrew's attorneys are saying that they're going to work alongside with the FBI to make sure that everything's all right or something to this effect, or that I probably couldn't even find it now if my life depended on it, but it was something about they're seeking counsel with somebody that was formerly acquainted to or tied in with the Trump name for legality or legal wise, like an attorney or something to this effect. I'll have to see if I can find it. But, you know, it's just trivial, I guess, to a certain extent, because there's just so much stuff going on. Off to somebody else.
Yeah, the problem with this whole narrative is why. You know, you gotta work through this with the five W's, right? Who, what, where, when, why. The five main questions of a journalist. And so when you're trying to put it all together, you got to answer all those questions. Now, the question is why? Why would they pony Trump out, run him through the 2016 Republican primaries, have him win the nomination for Republican candidate for the president, go up against Hillary Clinton, overcome all of these obstacles? And the first level of the Republican primary seemed an insurmountable obstacle for Donald Trump. And it's just been one miracle after another since then. He's been talking loud and clear about all of this dark stuff. I would draw everybody's attention to the Archbishop's dinner in New York City in 2016 before the election, with Hillary Clinton sitting right in the audience. He talked about children disappearing in Haiti. Why would he do all that? Why would he do all that to arrive at this point where you've got Maria? You see, we're getting into the deep culture of intelligence here, folks. And it's a house of mirrors. Okay? You know, we can speculate till the cows come home. You know, for all we know, Maria Farmer is co-intel. But to be honest, I trust Whitley Webb's judgment. If Whitley Webb has spent 10 hours with this woman over five different phone calls, 2 hours a time, talking to her and making notes and writing articles about what she knows.
She implicates Trump because of their Epstein relationship with the properties and stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, it's deeper than that. Let me repeat myself. Ivanka Trump was procuring with Ghislaine Maxwell in the 90s.
God, I know, it's sick, man. It's just...
Right,
it's
so...
It's just out of this world. Yeah, it's...
What are we into here?
Like, you know, well, that's the question, Bruce. This is the big question about why, with this Ghislaine Maxwell. Why her? Why now? And if you actually take a look at who this woman is, we know she's an Israeli Mossad deep state operator, actor, right, handler. She's got the connections with her father. She's got hereditary there. She's part of the whole network. Now, we know she's deep state. So,
no, yeah. I want to tie something in here, Jack. Let me throw this in here.
Steve, quickly. One fact, John Wayne. Okay. Her father was not only a spy for the Mossad, he is a legend in the Mossad. He is considered a super spy.
Right.
Absolutely. Right, yeah. A major bag man.
And her submarine company, you know, has anybody... You know, I don't hear anybody, you know, talking too much about her submarine company and private submersibles. And then you've got Epstein with this pilot, this girl that was, I guess, pulled up, plucked out of like Poland or somewhere. I don't know, somewhere in Europe, and was, you know, used, I guess, if that's a term, I guess we can use. I mean, it's just horrible. But and then she was given her pilot's license, she figured out how to fly a helicopter, and then she became his private pilot. And nobody's talking about her. I'll find the guy's name who has done all the digging into this. I got it right here. Let me find it here real quick.
My main point is, oh, by the way, Ghislaine Maxwell, she can actually fly. She can fly like a jumbo jet. For just people who don't know it.
Yes.
Yeah, she can fly. She can fly a helicopter. Too. She can pilot a sub. I mean, she's an accomplished woman in that sense. But here's the question, is that no sooner is she taken into custody, the FBI admits they have been keeping track of her for months, so they could have snatched her anytime they wanted. They had plenty of evidence through the raid on Epstein Island and his mansion in Arizona, if they even did that. And so here it is, 120 days before the election, all of a sudden they snatch her. And the first thing we hear from her attorney is that she's got bigger names than the ones that have already been floated. And so, wait a minute, you got bigger names? Now, there's only a couple bigger names that you can get than Bill Clinton. It's not even that prince with the House of Windsor.
I guarantee you Kissinger's up to his eyeballs in this kind of stuff.
Kissinger. Right, the only bigger names that really would have any kind of impact, in which, why in the world would the FBI even release that information? But the only bigger names that would have some type of political impact,
Barack
that
Obama,
she could release, or maybe two names, maybe
Donald,
like
Trump.
Or Donald Trump, right? And Prince Charles. Who else Prince is going to have any kind of other impact where people are going to go, what? And so I'm thinking, probably along with Bruce, that this woman is a last gasp type of political assassin that they're going to use against Trump in the closing days of the campaign. That's
well,
my take on it.
Out, what FBI agents arrested her, who worked on the case, and what attorney? Are they Democrat or are they Republican? I just use those terms loosely. What side are they playing on? Because if we see Republican FBI who arrested her and Republican attorney, district attorney, whatever the hell they're called, then you know that they're going to either use her against Biden or the other side, or they're going to keep her on ice to shut her up or kill her. And, I mean, I would think that this is a Republican, I use that term loosely, because didn't Barr fire this Berman, and then they arrested her? Berman was supposedly covering her for a year, or is that disinformation? I'm not sure. Go ahead.
No, I think he was. Now, look, my gut tells me Trump is trying to do what we think he's trying to do, okay? But my gut is not a rational participant in a roundtable. So let's go with the Zionist narrative, okay? Because I think it's time to finally address this. And, you know, Jacker's been all over this for about a year or so. And look, there can be no doubt that there are two factions, or a left hand and a right hand, to the Jewish influence in American politics. You've got the American Jewish diaspora on the one hand, which is liberal and traditionally Democrat, but Obama really did that in, right? Remember what he did in 2016, just before he got out of office. He made sure that the U.S. did not give its veto on a U.N. resolution against building houses in the Gaza Strip. Israel was furious about that. Alan Dershowitz did a long op-ed piece in the New York Times and used the expression stabbed in the back. Obama stabbed us in the back, okay? Then you got the hard right Zionist Jewish money, okay? And I think that's, you know, Sheldon Adelson, right, the Macau gambling guy, big buddy of Trump's, okay? That's the kind of money that and influence and power that helped Trump get into office. I'm now willing to entertain that he didn't do everything they wanted him to do. Yes, he put the embassy in Jerusalem. Yes, he acknowledged their authority over the Golan Heights. But I think their expectations included an attack on Iran. And he didn't do that. And listen, while we're saying things about Donald Trump, let's get something out in the open. This man, as U.S. president, has less blood on his hands in a four-year term than any president since World War II. Any president. Okay?
That's right.
When you factor in Korea, you guys would know better than me. I'm actually Canadian. But at least since the Cold War ended in 1989 when the Berlin Wall came down. The guy's got no blood on his hands. He threw a few Tomahawk missiles into an air hangar and blew up some of the... He hasn't killed anybody, okay? I think you know, maybe this is their revenge, is that they're not
you're right, Bruce.
You know, publicly humiliate him and tie.
Right, Bruce, you got to go back to Teddy Roosevelt, the Rough Rider. You got to go back to who's that guy that got killed at that's the fair, 1901. You got to go back to at the 18th century before you find.
No, I went through.
It would have less blood. Go ahead.
Yesterday for my broadcast, I went through, you know, all of the military history briefly.
Yeah, that was a great show, John, by the way.
Thank you. From 1652 all the way up until present. You know, and, you know, I'm telling you, man, there's been a hell of a lot of people that have died. You know, and I mean, that's just not just the United States. Look at the French Revolution. Look at the Bolshevik Revolution. Look at all these different, you know, look, then not only the revolutions as in full-out hardcore revolutions, but then you have the color revolutions. And I've done broadcasts about color revolutions before that have taken place all around the world. The most recent of, you know, would be the... Arab Spring, and you know, now they're saying, well, the United States is now having its color revolution.
Well, let's stick with the narrative that Bruce is coming up with.
Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to do
the two factions, because this is important, because this is historical. I mean, there's always been factions among this group. They fight. Doesn't matter if it's the King of France going up against the Queen of England, going up against the Kaiser. Yeah.
You have to have troops, whether they're regular army or whether they're covert or mercenaries. You've got to be a killer. You've got to field an army and kill people strategically.
Yeah, but I'm saying what Bruce is saying, like, you know, there's a thing in the movie Out of Africa or whatever, and South Africa is getting drawn in this war, First World War, and the guy says, it's between the Kaiser and the Tsar. He says, for Pete's sake, they're brother-in-laws. It's a family fight. And I mean, there's always these factions. So now we've gotten down to two, looks like, hardcore factions that the world is lined up against. Go ahead, Bruce.
You got to put another one out there. See, Bruce, I don't know. He dropped off the call. I don't know if he's going to come back on or he might have connectivity issues. But, you know, speaking of that, come on. I just had the very forefront of my head. Oh, come on. What the hell? What did you just say, Jacker? Because it was damned important what I was going to put out there.
No, I was just trying to back up Bruce's point about there's always been these two factions and what we're coming down to now.
Okay, yeah. That brings me back to what I was thinking about. So where does the CAIR fit into this? The Council on Arab-Islamic Relations and the Black Lives Matter movement, or the Burn, Loot, and Murder, as it should be called. You know, I think that they're a back funding faction into this. So, you know, you got the Jews, you got the Arabs, you got all this different stuff, and then all the religion is completely divided, everybody beyond division. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, Bruce finish your point. Yeah.
Well, so he didn't attack Iran, and, you know, now here's the weakness in my theory. I'll critique my own theory. Israel's not ready to stand on its own, and they don't have a new protector yet. I don't think that they've shored up protection with China. So, there's a hole in my theory. Like, and basically what I'm saying, I'm just talking for the sake of talking. I don't have any answers. I'm just trying to stimulate conversation here. But I guarantee whatever thesis anyone in this roundtable floats, I'll be able to find a giant hole in it. Because nothing is adding up right now. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, you're talking about a third power that somehow we don't know about, that's so powerful that can actually get 189 countries to all go into self-quarantine over nothing more than a hoax. So, there is another power that these two factions seem to be trying to please. I don't even know. You're right. You're right. This is convoluted.
Now,
here's the other thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If I were to float a theory, this would be it, okay? The despotic triumvirate, which is Vatican City, London City, and District of Columbia, are all going to collapse, and all power is going to be recentered in Jerusalem. This is the only thing that would make sense for what's going on now. But for it to be going on, and I don't mean to go crazy in the conversation here, there's a spiritual dimension to it. you know, this is angels and demons stuff. This is not just money. This is not just military clout. There's another force at work here, and I don't think it's benign. You know, if you want me to weigh in first, angelic or demonic, I'd say demonic. I'd say some of those forces Solomon was able to control, whoever gave him the signet ring. That's what I'd say.
I think they found the damn thing, if you want to know honestly what I think. The ring itself, okay. Literally.
So, yeah. So, I just wrote a book that has a chapter in it on Palo Mayombe, which is a blood-based magical practice, okay? It comes from the Congo, crept into the Caribbean through African slaves brought to Cuba. It's very dark. It makes Santeria look like a benign religion. And Santeria is the religion of the cartels, right? Mexican and Colombian cartels. It's basically a Latino form of devil worship. I was able to read the core materials for this religion, the stuff that only initiates are supposed to read. And I can tell you unequivocally, there is no reason from the perspective of a loving God. There is no loving God that requires animal sacrifices. And I think as conscientious people, we got to be calling this out. I mean, come on, man. You got to be kidding me. The people with more technology in their country now, Israel, than any other country in the world per capita, they run semiconductors now. And all of this has been done tacitly, right? The industry has just sort of been shipped over to Israel. Okay, so when I go looking for technical writer jobs now on LinkedIn and I go international or remote is my scope, you'd be amazed how many pop up in Israel. Okay, guys, let me remind you, there's only 5 million Jews there and 2 million Arab Israelis. It's a very, very tiny country. It's the New York plus the boroughs is about 12 million. Okay. Right. So you gotta see the power that's being concentrated here. And it's being done willingly. It's being done willingly. The satanic cabal is basically Talmudic Kabbalistic Masons. Masonry was created. Freemasonry, speculative masonry, was created in the 1670s. It started. You don't see the first major lodge till about 1720. But it started in the 1670s as speculative masonry. Okay, and it was started by Kabbalists who were let back into the country in 1656 after a prohibition, no Jews in the country. And why? Accusations of bloodletting, missing Christian boys at Passover. Okay, they were expelled in 1293, let back in 1656, and 15 years later, you got Freemasons? Come on, guys, there's the difference between logical speculation and conspiracy theory, okay? And then in 1684, you get the Bank of England, which is the framework for every central bank in the world right now? I mean, come on. It's as plain as the nose in your face.
And that bank has funded all the wars. Right, yes. Without a doubt.
Yes. And as soon as the fiat money came into things and everything went south after that. That's when the British Empire started and all the slave trading and everything. You know, before that, you know, you get a few aberrations like Alexander the Great and Genghis Khan and a few of the Caesars in terms of roaming armies, conquering cities and conquering city states. But nothing like we get in the British Empire. Then it suddenly with the addition of advanced naval capacity, we start to see this British Empire go out into the world. Because remember, the American Empire is the torch pass from the British. OK. And so, and you guys have never really been running the empire. You've been the muscle. London City is still a more important economic center than Wall Street. Always has been, always will be.
We're the military arm. London is the financial arm, and then Vatican is the religious arm.
Yes. They got the Vatican in Vatican II, and Vatican II was... the World War, that was the treaty for the Vatican after World War II, okay? Because the Vatican, let's be honest about this, the Vatican supported the Nazis. Now, they were kept alive in terms of a viable moral institution to as another control base, but the same satanic Luciferian forces got into the Vatican with Vatican II. And when does Vatican II happen? It happens in the 50s, I believe, right? And then they're forced to allow Christians to become Freemasons and all of this sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. And so, and I think another reason the Vatican was preserved was when their activities can't be hidden anymore, they need scapegoats, right? So the Vatican is being scapegoated for the kitty diddling stuff, the pedophilia. But that, by the way, that is not a sexual practice. That's an occult practice. It has to do with energy harvesting. I don't want to get into it, okay? But that is an occult practice, not a sexual practice, okay? So that's, you know, so that gets into the Vatican. There's no doubt in my mind that this particular pope is as evil as they come. I mean, just look at him. And now I think what the plan is to fold up these three power centers and center everything in Jerusalem. That's it.
Well, the Pope renounced his term or his being the vicar of Christ. So he's literally saying, I am now the almighty and powerful. No, not the Christ anymore. You know, he renounced his term. And then you look at the iconography or the structural architecture at the Vatican. I mean, it's just as plain as day as the nose is on the front of your face, what they're all into. I mean, you know, I don't understand how people can't see this stuff. I mean, how come people can't see this stuff?
Yeah. So all of this is leading to the white Christian. Okay. The white Christian is going to try to murder white Christianity. This is the genocide that's hanging in the ether, waiting to materialize on the planet. You can see the thought energy going into it. You can see all of this energy going into it. Right?
Data testing's already happening in South Africa, Bruce.
Yeah, well, that the whole collapse of South Africa was a Jewish thing as well. They control all the gold and diamonds in there, and the Africans are worse off than ever. And look, I am beyond holding my tongue about these things. You know, I've been called an anti-Semite by people at Rev Radio, but look, this is too important. It has to be said, okay? 3 out of 1,000 white Christians owned black slaves at the height of slavery. 4 out of every 10 Jews owned slaves. Okay, when you look at how this world came together, realize that there's a couple things that made it happen. Number one is money, and particularly fiat money and centralized banking. Number two is transportation mechanism, and not military transportation, but merchant transportation, the merchant marines, okay? Merchant transportation has been controlled by the Jews for about 500 years. They started out of Amsterdam. These are the same Sabbatean Jews. By the way, the Sabbatean Jew is that is the school of Judaism that says do the opposite of what's in the Torah. So on a feast day, on a fasting day, gorge. If it says sexual piety, go to orgies. The religion is literally do the opposite of what the scriptures say. That's what Sabbatai Alevi did. And most diaspora Jews recognized him as the Messiah in 1666. This 1600s is a really important period of history to understand the position that the world is in now, because it all starts back then. Really, if you want to be factually accurate and really fastidious in drilling down into this, it begins with Gutenberg. Okay? So it begins with the printing press. And then with the printing press, you get the beginning of the Protestant movement. Okay? Because not everybody could have a Bible back then. Then suddenly you get the Bible being printed. That's the first thing that Gutenberg printed was the Bible, right? A lot of people have made a lot of money off the Bible. Don't kid yourself. It's the best-selling book in the history of the human race. So then you get Gutenberg, and then you get Luther. And then, I mean, you know, last week on my show, McDonald in the Morning, I went through one book. It was an evangelical pastor from Romania who did 16 years in a prison. His name was Warmberg. And he wrote a book called Marx and Satanism. And it was absolutely fascinating to go through this book over 5 days. The connection is very clear. He's not stretching it, not looking to spread the butter too thin over the bread. And you know, it's not Christian fantasy. When you're doing precise things in sequence that are part of a satanic mass, it's not an accident. And Marx and Engels and all, they were doing that stuff. And they were all Jews, okay? And at the root of this, at the very root of all this, to go back to the inception of it, is that the Jews Absolutely. And I mean all Jews. I don't mean just Orthodox. I mean liberal Jews, Reform Jews. They hate Jesus. They hate Jesus. Okay? I cannot stress this enough. I was just watching a Doreen Doten video. She's a Torah Jew, a nice enough lady. She does a YouTube channel. She's got about 20,000 subscribers. Very interesting stuff. I suggest everybody take a look at it once in a while. But her latest video is, she's gloating over the collapse of the Western Christian world and asks out loud, are you ready to admit yet that this Yeshua fellow was a huckster and a fraud? He's not a prophet. And that's the polite Jewish way of saying it. When you get into these hardcore eye for an eye, blood libel, old school, Old Testament Jews, imagine how they think about Christ, okay? A war was started when the Romans destroyed the temple in 72 AD, okay? And say what you will about the Mossad, they have the courage and the honor to come right out and say it. It's war by deception. It's war by deception. Now, circling all this back to Trump, he made deals with these people to get into office. And it seems as though those deals aren't holding now. Otherwise, they would be protecting him. How do they protect people? Money, public relations, and quite frankly, magic. Magic is real, guys. You got to get, don't practice it. I don't practice it, but magic is real, okay? There's a lot you can do in magic. You can make things happen, right? And a lot of the stuff we see bouncing off Trump his first 3 years, it was almost magical when you think about it, right? You think, oh, he's going to be done in. And this is what led to the religious mythos around Trump. Oh, he's King Cyrus. Oh, he's a prophet. He's this. No, he's backed by and supported by the same Jewish magicians that are looking to take over the world.
Well, you're right about how the Jews actually do feel about Yeshua, Jesus, and Christianity. Brother Nathaniel, I know who he is.
He's
a converted Jew, real hardcore from the Orthodox Jews from Philadelphia. I mean, from some of the bigger synagogues. And he tells you in no uncertain terms, he converted to Orthodox Christianity, but the ones that wear the black robes, the sort of the Eastern Orthodox or Greek or Russian.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what he has to say, and he doesn't hold his tongue. In fact, the way he says it, it's so bad, Bruce and company, it's so bad that Rents, and Rents is an anti-Semitic, right? Rents, mm-hmm. at the end of some programs, Jeff Rents has to say, now look here, this is a free speech station. Brother Nathaniel has a right to say what he feels. It's not that the station is saying they back up all of his views. And I'm thinking, wow, here it is. Gentile Rents, because Brother Nathaniel goes so far on the inner workings and how the Jews actually feel about Jesus, Yeshua, and Christianity, that he's actually got to back away from it a little bit. Very telling. But I think you're right, Bruce. That theory you got, that all of the old structures are collapsing, mainly the three cities, the American military empire out of Washington, the economic empire out of London, and then the religious one out of Rome. It does seem like all three of them are cracking and that there's going to be a consolidation of power in Israel. And also one of your theories is that maybe the actual rebuilding of the temple, there's something about the resonance of it, that maybe it is some kind of magical weapon. I mean, imagine if you rebuild something in which or you really believe that God himself actually walked in the holies of holies, and you're able to put your guy in there and set him up as God.
Right. The Sanhedrin's already built. It's all underground along the Western Wailing Wall, and this is part of the temple complex. It's already there.
So blood sacrifice is never good. You're dealing with very, very dark and nearly uncontrollable energies when you get into that stuff, okay? And And the Jews are up to their neck in it. And that's just the plain truth of it. There are good Torah Jews out there. Now, the Jews were given a message that was divine in the beginning, and then they were tempted. It's interesting that every time this Temple of Solomon gets built, they get attacked, right? So the last time it was the Assyrians and the Babylonians attacked them. And, King Solomon lost the empire. That was the last time you had a united kingdom of Israel. And that was 930 BC. And then after that, the tribe of Judea was taken into captivity with Babylon. And then the tribe of what they call the Israelites were taken into Assyrian captivity. And then they go into their dark period. Now, they still had prophets pop up here and there, but they went into a dark period. But they haven't really reconciled that. You don't hear any rabbis talking about it, like, we lost our way, we got to get back to the true teachings of the Torah. This Talmudic Kabbalistic magic stuff has been nothing but a horrible burden upon us. And it's going to get worse. Now, here's what happens when you use these forces, okay? Because all of these tales we hear throughout history are fundamentally true. And here I'm thinking of a tale like Dr. Faust, by Goethe in Germany, right? Making a deal with the devil, signing a contract in blood and everything. And all of our mythology and all of our fable and all of our inherited knowledge about the dark forces states the same thing, is that the dark force will give you what you want, but it's when you get it that you're in trouble, right? Because really, if you're using that force to get something, it would fairly be said that you don't understand what you're asking for, okay? So when the power does get centered in Jerusalem, they're not going to hold it for, I think the scriptures are right, Revelation, they're not going to hold it for longer than 5 or 7 years. They're going to fall, because their entire way of operating for the last 2,000 years has been deception, it's been covert, it's been manipulation, it's been betrayal. And then, so when they assume the mantle of power, all of the stuff they've learned is useless, because they're not trying to steal power by whispering into a leader's ear as the advisor. They now have the power. And what's going to happen? They're not set up to deal with that. And deep down, I think a lot of Jews are realizing this. They're realizing the predicament that they're in, and the sort of Damocles that's hanging over them. Because that's
the east.
Yeah. It's not going to be pretty when they get the power. It's not going to be pretty at all. It's going to last a very, very short time. They'll get their temple up and everything, but true to form, every time that temple gets built, they get attacked. The Romans did it in 72 AD, and the Babylonians and Assyrians did it in 930 AD. There's something about that temple and its black magic purpose that it just sets an alarm off in the unconscious of the human race. You'd think they'd learn, right? You know what they say, the third time's the charm. So this will be the third time they build the temple. But I think building it underground, no. I think it has to be built above ground, and it has to be announced to the people. The problem with modern Judaica is they've confused the black magic they've gotten into with God. They don't know the difference anymore. And they're about to get a lesson in the next decade or decade and a half that they're not anticipating. You know, for people who've been able to call and hedge every bet for the last 2,000 years to get to the point they're at, it's going to be their fall is going to be spectacular. It's going to be equally spectacular to the story that got them there. Over.
You know, I think it was 2016 or 2017 when they did do the sacrament for the foundation of the Third Temple. You know, remember that they did have a red heifer that was born, and then they said it was absolutely perfect. And then they came all upset, oh, now it's not perfect.
We'll see you on the other side.
Yep, absolutely.
Message. be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Yeah, and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is an impromptu roundtable on a Sunday afternoon, July 5th, 2020. I'm joined by Deacon John, the hijacker, and John Wayne. And I want to take a brief moment to remind you that Revolution Radio is, in fact, an entirely listener-supported station. We don't do any advertising here. And that means that we are dependent on you to keep doing what we do. If you're so inclined, and I certainly hope you are, please go to revolution.radio and hit the Patreon button and hit us up with a little bit of love. $5 a month is not that much money for the kind of programming you get at Revolution Radio across both studios. We're free, we're uncensored, we're unconnected to any platform that can be unplugged, and that's going to become increasingly important in the coming days, weeks, months, and years. With that said, let's get right back to it. Who wants to lead us into the second hour?
I just wanted to finish with what I was saying before the break kicked in, is that they'd already done the sacraments for the temple. They've already, said they've produced a calf, which they probably had to use DNA from the one that they said was damn near perfect to create the actual one they're going to use. And I've heard that they're already pressing the oil from the olives for the, the crossing of, the anointing of the oil. There you go. So they're all on their way to doing this, and they're using it as a script to pull off their devious plan. So then off to whoever else.
I agree completely. I mean, they're not hiding it, right? I mean, the Sanhedrin is doing YouTube videos now. And like I said, I mean, come on, folks, in 2020, it's absolutely unacceptable that we're allowing a major world religion to do animal sacrifices. I mean, come on, religious freedom is one thing, but I mean, they're telling everybody to go vegetarian now. This is why they're attacking the meat supply and everything. And so the principle, I'll explain the principle of sacrifice to you as I learned it studying Pala Mayombe. You get an energetic charge or an energetic energy by sacrificing something outside of the creative circle. So if you think there's any great sin in eating a chicken or a cow, there isn't, because it stays within the creational circle, meaning that the life of the animal went to sustain life here. It had a purpose. It had a meaning. It was not meaningless. When you kill an animal with no purpose other than to appease an invisible entity, that's where the magic comes in, because the energy of that life isn't properly represented in the circle of life. And it's that energy that becomes the intentional, let's say, missile that is used within black magic. I know this sounds ridiculous to any rational person with a bachelor degree or beyond listening to me. It would have sounded ridiculous to me a few years ago, but I assure you, it's all true. I mean, if you believe in the power of prayer, why would you not believe in the power of black magic? They're both fundamentally saying the same thing, that human consciousness has the ability to interact with and communicate with other forces that are non-visible and not apprehendable to our five senses or our mind, but they're there nonetheless. This is the principle of spiritual reality, right? So time to put your big boy pants on, folks, and accept what's going on in this world. We're going into a very dark time. And really, to me, what the end times are about is about the end of this whole blood. The blood religions have to go. You know, if you look at the procession of prophets, I think that Yeshua was the most important. And of all of the prophets in that 28 major prophet lineage, the last being Muhammad, if you believe he was a prophet. I do, by the way. But Yeshua is clearly the most important. And there's reasons why he's the most important. And there's reasons why that any human civilization going forward should try and live to the values he espoused more than any other. We don't need to be counting shekels anymore. We don't need to be doing the eye for an eye stuff anymore. We were told 2,000 years ago, we're going to be told again, this time with a hammer rather than a feather. Over.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say, I was going to back you up on the whole blood thing. So the Bible does have it's a scripture there that life is in the blood. But also, Zen's particular theory is that when Adam and Eve were in paradise, which was not the same as the Garden of Eden, and they had light, bright-natured bodies, that it's actually once they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that, and some people believe it was the grape, but for whatever it is, then basically what happened is their bodies became in frequency. They started to have, in other words, blood started to actually fill up, and they're actually falling into flesh form was through the eating of the knowledge of good and evil, whatever this fruit was. And that created the actual blood. And so when you actually take a look at all the satanic sacrifices and some of the people that come out of it, they go, you don't get a really good manifestation of a demonic entity or power unless you got the spilt blood there. I saw this footage of these, I don't know if they were Filipino guys or Japanese guys, but they were like in a jungle and they were all around and they were all doing these heavy chanting and they had sacrificed something. I'm not sure exactly what it is. But you start to see this entity start to manifest right among them. It's like a ghost that's starting to get like layers upon it where you get more and more definition. And you actually start to see he's coming up out of a portal. And you can see by the reflection of what's on this being coming out, all these Filipino black magic guys with these headbands or whatever. I mean, they were serious guys. They were seriously into the religion. But anyways, as this thing manifests, it starts to reach over. And this one guy, you can see he's shaking as his hand comes towards him. And just as the hand starts to grab him, he just can't take it anymore. And he just freaks out. And he ends up having a psychotic break or something. But he pulls away. He breaks the circle. And I mean, all hell breaks loose. And then next thing you know is this thing, bam, goes back down to the ground. And then this guy, he starts, I don't know if it's talking in tongues or he just goes out of his mind. And then you see all these other black magicians around and all these other Filipinos. They keep chanting something over and over and over, trying to pull him out of it. But my point is that any of these Satanists, they'll tell you when they get in a deep woods, when they go into a sacrifice, there's something about blood which they need. There's something about it which seems to open up and manifest something.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's also on the other side. The very fact that Jesus had to actually spill his blood, that he had to be sacrificed. So there's something there. I don't know exactly how it works, but there's something there. I'll back you up on that. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't think we want to know how it works. That's the whole point. You know, I don't want to know how it works. You know, it just is not something I would spend a lot of time studying. But coming to the reality of it and acknowledging that it exists and it does operate is something I'm willing to do as part of my human responsibility in the time we live in. I definitely lend my voice to this. This is real. I'll take on anybody who says it's nonsense. It is absolutely real. Go ahead, John Wayne.
The power is in the blood, and what it makes me think of to the certain effect is that, you know, I know everybody listening to the broadcast has likely nicked their finger at one time or accidentally cut themselves, and, you know, obviously, you know, to try and make sure, you know, to stop the bleeding. And blood has a metallic taste to it. And I think that, you know, not only the forms of metallic substructure of what would reside in the microcosm of blood is tied to the auroral fields of the earth, the ley lines, so to speak. I think that this may be an area where you're kind of maybe to try to answer a form of the question that Jacker proposed. So,
yeah. Guys, we've been joined here by – go ahead, Deacon, sorry.
No, real quick, as a corollary to that, I think that Trump has signed off. Stephen Ben Noon has come up with this, and he's apparently saying he has sources in his Israel military or whatever intelligence, and also up in the White House and a Pentagon source that Trump has signed off on the disposition of the deplorables, or the undesirables, I mean. Undesirables meaning minorities, and that he signed off on this. I don't know, Hijacker, we had talked about that. But I think that that's, with his body language and not really doing anything to clean this up, I think the fix is in for these folks that are out there rioting.
Because well, tell them exactly what it is, Deacon. Tell them exactly. No, you want to tell them exactly what it is? Or
well, really? Stephen Ben Noon, of course, Israeli News Live. Him and his wife were both born Jews, but they converted to Christianity, so they're Christians. And Ben Noon has Israeli sources, either intelligence and or military and or governmental, same thing here up in the White House, he says, in a Pentagon source, and that this protesting is being allowed and Trump signed off on it so these people can be depopulated or genocided. These are the undesirables, the minorities that the elites don't like, the blacks, I guess, Hispanics, Latinos, the undesirables, the underclass, and that kind of fits in with, well, they don't need them anymore with their machine and robot technology. But I'm sort of watching this, and he's made this statement about 3 weeks ago. So that's kind of the idea there on that. That's why one of the reasons, I don't know if they're being sprayed with something or whether they're trying to start a racial war and they want the whites to wipe out the blacks. But I think he's stating that they the elites have made the decision to get rid of these undesirables. They want them out.
Done. Right. Well, I don't think President Trump has signed off on that. And it might be the reason why there might be a sort of a council that's actually got control of this presidency. It doesn't seem like he's got full control. There seem to be, Bruce is right, there's something they see about him in which they're bucking up. And maybe they don't want to use him up.
Well,
or maybe, you know, I don't know. But I don't think he signed off on that.
If I may, before I introduce Giuseppe, who joined us, but if I may, I'll give you my reading on the racial situation, okay? And this is I live in Central America. You guys all know me. I speak Mandarin, French, Spanish, and English. I understand cultures. I haven't lived in just one. I've always seen the fermenting of racial hatred and the inciting of the black population is them volunteering to be genocided. And I do know from my own research that at the top circles of this demonic hierarchy, they are profoundly racist and they do prefer whites. But it'll be, if they get their way, it'll be Jews first, and then it'll be, what they'll try and do is rehabilitate the Christians. Okay, it's not going to be like the Bolshevik Revolution where they just viciously kill you and everything, but you'll be looked upon as apostate Jews have sort of lost your way, and you'll be remediated. But the this by the way, circling right back to Maria Farmer and the Ghislaine Maxwell arrest, this is one of the things that Maria Farmer said to Whitley Webb, and she said, look, you cannot believe the racism in these people when they're alone, like Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and their Jewish friends. She said they sound exactly like the SS might sound in a private boardroom meeting. They're unbelievably racist, okay? They hate blacks, they hate Latinos, they hate everybody that is basically doesn't show blood in the face. Remember, they're biblical literalists, okay? They're biblical literalists. This is what you need to understand about the Orthodox Jews. There's subtlety to the interpretation. There's coding and gematria in the deciphering of the ancient Hebrew into meaningful English. But fundamentally, it's a manual for them, not a book of inspirational quotes, the way we read Psalms, right? And the Bible does say God's chosen people are those who can show blood in the face. And that's all white people, right? All white people, including the Jews.
Well, if their religion says if they stick with the contract with God and keep the commandments or whatever laws there are, it doesn't matter how shitty you are or you mistreat other people, you're going to get to heaven, right? That's kind of their blueprint, right? Their laws, their legal theological structure.
Yeah, and my son, before we get the next roundtable guy on, so my son, he's been to Japan, Thailand. Vietnam, and so he's got a chance to do some serious travel. That's how he likes to spend his money. He's a master mechanic, but he says, you know something, because I ask him, what's the big takeaway when he got back? I says, was it mind bending? Was it mind altering? Did it open things up? Did you see anything else? And this last time, after doing this last little tour for 3 weeks of basically South Asia, he says, you know, Dad, I noticed something. He says, no matter where you go, it doesn't matter in Japan, Thailand, or Cambodia or the other places he went. He goes, it seems to be that.
Swastika, he says, right?
What's that?
You're going to talk about the swastika?
No, he's going to talk. Okay, sorry. Talking about basically, he says, it doesn't matter. The whiter the person, even if they're Asian, they seems like the better off they have it and the more they're respected. And he goes, yeah. I just don't get it. It's in Japanese culture, Vietnamese, Thailand, and the other places he went. So, yeah, there's something to the blood in the face. It's there's something to that. But I don't know. Who do you got up next here?
Giuseppe, a new host at Revolution Radio, has joined us. Giuseppe Vaffanculo. Did I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Just wanted to call in and say fascinating discussion and your knowledge of history and all the gentlemen on is very impressive. But I'm just wondering that it seems your thoughts on it seems so limited as far as only the last couple of millennia. I mean, the Tao Te Ching was written 6,000 years ago. And there's even more ancient scripts like the Bhagavad Gita, and they talk about amazing things. And you can, now they've unearthed Göbekli Tepe and Nepes Tepe, which goes back, 6,000 years beyond the Bhagavad Gita. And so much of the full history of man is suppressed and controlled. And I just wonder what your thoughts are from the eternal spiritual battle when you look beyond just the last couple of millennia.
Yeah, I'll go first. You're absolutely right. It's everywhere. It predates the Bible and all this, but it's really centered itself in the Abrahamic scriptures now. Clearly, the Western world is the economic structure for the whole world, however powerful China may think it is. It isn't. It's still run by the West. It's still run by the Abrahamics, the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims are encroaching too, but mainly because of one commodity, oil, right? But you know, we're really centering it on like really blending it between modern political reality and the background behind it. So, yeah, we can go back thousands of years. I'm well versed in that. I've read the Graham Hancock. I've read all that stuff. It's a fascinating theory. But for me, to understand 2020 and what's going to happen in the next 10 years, you have to understand what happened in the 1600s in the livery unions in England, in the Fire of England, in the plague, and the formation of the Bank of England, and how England became a major European player, the dominant European power, what World War I and World War II were really about, why the Germans were taken out, because the Germans were the favored European people of the Jews before the British. I don't know if you guys know that, right? They were the center of innovation and everything. Brilliant people, by the way, the Germans, okay? They're absolutely brilliant people. I can't say enough about them. And so that's why we're talking about this, Giuseppe. I mean, we can open it up to the scope you want, but these Deacon and Jack, they're hardcore nuts and bolts political guys. It's got to tie into the price of a loaf of bread in 3 weeks for it to make any sense. Am I right,
guys?
Jacker?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. So, right. And by the way, the price of a loaf of bread is going to be getting really, really big. Hey, by the way, I'm putting together an agriculture bond. I'm going to pay about 9% over 12 months, okay? Underwritten and insured and everything. I'm bringing all the farmers up together here. We got about 500 acres, and we're going to do a big cattle operation. I'm talking to guys in the U.S., and I'm talking to Chinese investors now. So it's time for me to stop writing books and take care of my pueblo now. And so we're going into cattle. It's the best money there is.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Breeze. Beef will be going up there.
Commodities, boys. If you want to know what to do with the economy now, look, if you're not in technology and working on AI or robotics, go right back to the beginning of economy. Get yourself a 1,000 chicken operation where every 8 weeks you're putting out 1,000 chickens because it's all going back to the basics now, because this turning upside down we're going through now is going to disrupt all the supply chains. And so it's an opportunity for the small entrepreneur to come in, right? And I'm taking the opportunity. It's here, and I'm taking it, right?
Yeah, and you should be able to do the cattle pretty easy where you're at, Bruce.
I got a lot of contacts in Taipei, Taiwan, and I got a lot of contacts in Shanghai. 100% of the beef grown that is exported from Costa Rica now is going to China. And I'll bet you there's a Chinese dude in Shanghai who wants to circumvent the bastards who are monopolizing the beef import in China and set up his own thing and get a little group going where I have this thing that, okay, the economy of scale that we're dealing with now is going to go away. Everything's going to go back to kind of like Gangs in New York, that Martin Scorsese film, where companies are going to get smaller. And they're going to work with certain groups, right? The world's going to get more feudal, is what I'm saying, folks. It's going to be the opposite of globalization, okay? And food is a big, big thing now. If you can get into the food business, organic food, good organic food, man, you're laughing. So I'm taking my chance, and I'm taking Chinese money. I speak their language. I understand these people. I can do business with them. Don't hold it against me, guys.
Doesn't it seem obvious to you that the globalists are worried about the people waking up, and that's why they've gone in for the last 10 years? They've built up this vaccine scam and this pandemic scam. In the 2010 Rockefeller Institute report, it lays out exactly what is going on now in 2020. And I mean, this is just essentially a rebranded flu plus vaccines activate or trigger the bioweapons that are constantly accidentally or perhaps intentionally released worldwide. But Mother Nature, the building blocks of life, don't want to see millions wiped out. So oftentimes these weapons, these viruses in a lab are deadly, and you get them out in public, like the intentional release in 2014 of the Ebola virus that killed 23 that strain rather that killed 23,000. Suddenly it modulated and it was basically benign. And you combine that with the idea that the economy has been such a gambling, a kosher corrupt casino with $500 trillion in derivative bets that could never be paid off. And so essentially they're like, it seems to me like an ESPN late night poker, where they're pushing all their chips in. They're all in, and they're trying to ensure that a mandatory vaccination, which controls the herd globally, they're trying to get people to digital currency. They're trying to institute a social credit system, and they're trying to monitor your every move with contact tracing. And it's all based on the lie of this SARS-2 COVID-19. What are your thoughts on that?
Gentlemen?
Well, no, I was actually, I was stuck on your business model, Bruce. Just
well, so, I'll answer Giuseppe
right,
then.
Right. So if you go cattle, go goats to help clear the land, but then also I don't know what can take down a cattle in your neck of the woods.
Snake.
But there are some dogs that can take on.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is, do something out of the box. Like import some mongooses from India and let them loose.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to interfere with the biology here, but I will. I will. All my neighbors know how to raise cattle, right? They all know how to do it. They all do. They do small batches, like 10 at a time or something. But you double or you triple your money on cows, right? If you have good pasture land for them to eat and everything, and
well, that's what the goats would do. The goats would do the clearing.
But nobody's buying goat meat, right? Yeah,
no,
I know what
you use
mean.
Goats. You use goats to clear the land. They eat anything. They eat briars. Read about goats. Incredible.
Yeah, you might have an idea there. I might get some goats up here. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I didn't think of that. But yeah, just get a food operation going. I could keep doing my thing, right? Writing my books are doing okay. I'm making money on them. Not what I make in technology, but I'm making money. I could go back and do some freelance tech writing, but I really want to do something. I really want to do something for this community. I really want to bring it into the 21st century and make sure people don't have to leave this mountain and go and work in factories and stuff. I'm putting my whole heart, my whole mind behind this.
Well, if you can get those people to actually unify, Bruce, where instead of them all having 10 acres or whatever a piece, and you say, look, let's go 500 acres. Let's all hem the whole thing in.
That's what we're
all
doing.
Work together. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Bruce, now it's going to be. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Let me ask you, if an expat were to come down your way and settle in the country that you're living in currently, what would they need monetarily to be able to buy a homestead or a house and live off of income wise, retirement type of thing? What would you suggest as a rule of thumb?
This is the number one question in the Costa Rica expat group on Facebook, okay? And it's usually asked by someone who joins the group before they even come here. For the average North American, I'd say, look, you want to maintain your car, keep insurance on it, and you want to have a two or three bedroom home with like a 1 acre lot in a nice area like Grecia or San Ramon or Atenas in the Central Valley. Beautiful climate there, by the way. Eh? It goes down to about 65 to sleep, goes up to about 80 during the day. It's considered, Costa Rica is considered the best climate for human beings on the planet, especially the Central Valley area. You need a budget of about $2,000 a month, and you need a friend like me, because there's stuff about, and especially as the world gets more and more tense, because this place is having economic instability as well. You need somebody who can handle problems, like go and talk to people and say, hey, this guy you don't rob, and stuff like that. And I'm not trying to scare you, but this is a big topic on the expat boards now, right? Because, hey, man, borders are closed here, and 10% of the gross domestic product that they know about was from tourism, okay? But I don't think they're factoring in everything. I don't think they're factoring in taxis, restaurants, and everything, right? But it's a major hit to Costa Rica. And they're not coming up with any ideas to bring this economy back on board. So, and I'll have all these scumbags putting their hands out for permits when I go to do this cattle operation as well. So, but that's all you need. $1,500, $2,000 a month for a husband and wife, and you'll live like a king, man. You'll have a high-speed internet. You'll have a satellite. That's my wife putting stuff in the freezer. Somebody gave us a bunch of fish today. It's another thing they do here is they give you food, right? It's a gift. You get fruit, you get fish, and they just caught it in a lake somewhere. So,
Culture. That's their culture. Yeah.
You get yourself a really nice home, really nice livable home for about 150 grand. You don't want to go in the gated communities. You want to learn Spanish. You want to be known by your neighbors. That's the way I say it, right? And so, I mean, the way I live, I get by. My budget is about 600 a month is what I need. I spend more than that because I make more than that. But you have to see the way I live to really understand how I pulled this off. I mean, I went out into the jungle. The place I built is zoned wild. Okay, so you got residential. That's where you sell lots. You got commercial, you got agricultural, and then you got this fourth bracket in the land code in Costa Rica that is just wild, which basically means, look, you want to go and do something there? Have at it, buddy. There are no regulations out there. I had the head architect and the head civil engineer come up when my project was almost done, and somebody ratted me out because I didn't get any permits. And they walked around, and I talked to them for about 30 minutes, and they said, you know, Jesus, man, an earthquake won't take these buildings down. Don't worry about anything. And they left, and they're my buddies now, right? And so answering your question, anywhere from 1,500 to 2 grand, you're living like a king. I mean, that's fresh fruit every morning for breakfast. That's eating meat 5 days a week. That's your satellite TV. That's going to restaurants. That's everything, everything, right? 2 grand, you're living like a king over here for 2 grand. The average Costa Rican family gets by on about $500 a month where I live. In the Central Valley, they get by on about $1,500, but that's like 5-6 people, the kids and everything, right? So if you want to come down here, talk to me, Deacon. I'll find you a nice home in a good, safe community. Not where I live. I don't live in a good, safe community. I live in a wild place. But it is safe. I mean, it's safe for me. You'd have to be crazy to kill me at this point. But I'll find you a nice place, and no commission, no nothing. And anybody else who wants to come down here, I'll help you out. I'll find a private seller, and I'll make sure I'll get you a lawyer you can trust. There's a lot of scams down here, man. You got to know somebody. And like I said, I'm not selling anything. This is all free for my friends, right? So if you want to come down, because I want to see good people survive. You know, it's going to get pretty dicey in North America, man. I'd like to see some good people survive. This is a good place to survive, Costa Rica. You can make it here. Like, you can, people, and the people are generally open-hearted, okay? The gringos I know who get robbed, total assholes, okay? Mid-50s, disbarred, 5-time divorced, Chicago lawyer. That's the profile. They're into the coke, they're into the whores. It's only a matter of time before you're going to get robbed, you know? You know, you have one whore at your house, she's casing the place. She's got 8 brothers who are coming by in a week. Because you told her you're going golfing. That's how you get robbed. Sorry, too much. Too much information. I apologize.
You really are funny sometimes, Bruce.
Well, it's the truth. The plain truth.
Hey, where do I sign up?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, right.
Beautiful, you know, country. You get to join a church in your community, okay? Get to know the church people. Man. You're fun. You get to know the church people, you get into the community, you're fine. These are good-hearted people at their core. Better than most people I've met in my life. Latinos are hard.
You know, I assume that with the way everything's going, eventually they're going to shut down air traffic. You know, people are already, countries are saying, well, you know, we're not going to allow any Americans in. Europe's done this, and I just expect for it to continue to move forward. You know, I mean, it would have to be a daunting task, wouldn't it, to travel on, you know, either by foot or by vehicle, whatever means takes necessary, to get from the United States to where you're at would be literally like walking through hell, would it not, with all the cartels and all the other horrible stuff going on?
A lot of people drive. There's a map people use. I can get it for you. A lot of people drive. Okay? There's certain highways you have. There's only one rule. Do not travel at night. You pull off the road, you get a hotel room, and you sleep for the night, okay? And do not sleep in your vehicle. But other than that, I know retired couples who've driven down here with a U-Haul behind them. Okay? You can do it. It's not as crazy down here as you're led to believe in the U.S. media. Okay, it's a bit dicey in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. Okay, they're really bad places right now.
Yeah, they really are. They got they. Bruce is right. I actually looked it up because my daughter was thinking about doing like a missionary trip down there. And then I think it was maybe Honduras. And when I took a look at those numbers, I said, my God, you're not going down there. No way. Yeah, some of them are bad. Guatemala. Yeah,
they're bad. They're bad. So, yeah, and there's little things you can do over here that are completely normal, Deacon, if you want to. I mean, $2,000 a month is if you buy everything in a grocery store. I mean, you build yourself a little chicken coop in the backyard, and we're talking like 6x6 or 8x8. You can raise 25 chickens at a time in that little coop for meat. You end up eating organic chicken for about 80 cents a pound. Okay, wow. It's currently about $6 a pound in any U.S. grocery store. And there's all these little things you can do here, right? Like all my neighbors up here, they build ponds. And then they stock them with this fish called tilapia. And they got like hundreds. What are we having tonight? Fish. Okay, I'll go down to the pond with a net. I literally live in the 1800s where I live, right? And a lot of my neighbors, they don't have more than $100 a month to spend. And they spend that all on booze. Maybe a little bit of salt, some beans, and some rice. And then they got their eggs. They got their chickens. They might have a goat. And the rest is animal husbandry, right? So, but very few gringos live the way I do down here. Like I might be a one-off down here. And there's everybody goes into either gated communities, and then after 2 or 3 years, they may sell there and will go off and get their own home once they speak a bit of Spanish and stuff. But, you know, hey, we should close up with just Len Maxwell, because that's what we opened up with, right? Let's close off that topic. We got all over the place with Israel and black magic and the Third Temple and everything. So she's a hand grenade for Donald Trump. How we arrived at this point with the message he came into office with, I'm going to clean up the deep state, and now the biggest smear might be on him and his wife Ivanka going back to the 90s. I don't understand how we arrived at this point. You know, I am super confused. Can anybody explain this?
Well, it depends on whose pawn she is. Go ahead.
Right. You know, and I mean, I've been paying attention to some things lately that it just seems like things are just keep repeating, like in an intestinal small circle, right? And for some reason, I got on to looking at the Schumann resonance. And there's a huge black space where they're saying, oh, absolutely nothing at all. I don't know. There's something happening on a dimensional level. There has to be, but I'm not trying to detract or get away from anything, but you know, I don't know. So damned weird, man. It's so damned weird. Everything is so weird right now.
Yeah, it is. Giuseppe.
Oh, I was going to observe that, when he was elected in 2016, he being Donald Trump, Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House, was interviewed. And he was astonished that Donald Trump won. And he said they're never going to allow him to be successful because he's not one of them. He's an outsider. And so I think that if you look at that as there's some, I don't know what you want to call it, the deep state, the what have you, but there's a club and most people are not in it, even Donald Trump. And so the fact that he was elected by the so-called citizens of the flyover state that have just had it with the globalization initiative, and especially with the utter evil of the Clintons and their 8-year run, I've read at multiple sources where Trump went into it just to expand his brand. He thought, holy cow, I can parlay this into my own network, Trump network and everything. And clearly, I don't believe he thought he would ever win, because if he did, he would have been prepared with a cabinet and people he could trust instead of bringing in 22 of 24 Zionists and depending on his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who's a dual citizen, Shabbat Lubavitch traitor to this country. And yet he's running these major initiatives. So I think that I think Donald thought he had his water wings on and was swimming in the pool and didn't realize that he got tossed in the deep end and was not prepared. And he's been paying for it ever since.
Yeah, well, he's actually even admitted it. You know, so they ask him, yeah, they ask him about election night, and this is what he said. He says it was early in the afternoon of election day, and my people were already coming to me. He did this in some interview, if you can find it. And they said, you know, look, Donald, you know, we got the exit polling and all these other pollsters, what they're saying. And so, you know, just get ready for an early night. And he says, you know, I sort of expected that. That's why the last night I actually showed up in, I don't know if it was Wisconsin or Michigan. He brought his whole crew out there, his whole family, showed everybody one last time, his whole family. And he says, well, I already had a sense that what they were saying was going to happen on election night was going to happen. He says, that's why I did make sure my whole family, all of my extended family, everybody came on that last event at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so he says, I expected an early, early night, in other words, that he was going to lose. And he says, no question about it. I was surprised. So he actually even admitted it. And then about expanding his brand, somebody said that that is the real reason why he decided to do it. And it was almost like a way of toying with them. But in the meantime, he's got these iconic speeches, which are Kennedy-esque. And I think that's one of the reasons they've hated. They still hate him after 3.5 years. He's got so many speeches and words under the bridge, so lofty, so identifying, yeah, that he's all in now. He's in a fight for his life because he knows if he gets defeated, the people out of the Southern District of New York, they're going to find something on him, and they're going to have to completely discredit him and put him in jail for some kind of fraud or whatever. Yeah, go ahead.
Whatever it started out as, it's to the death now. I have another point, but I know John Wayne has something to say.
You know, I had a girl that sought me out, or a young lady, I guess, about 3 or 4 years ago. And she goes, well, you know, I go, you know, have you got a story? Well, you know, why are you seeking me out? She goes, I go, have you heard my broadcast? She goes, yes, I've heard your broadcast. I go, okay. I go, so you've got a story or something, right? She goes, yeah. I go, okay, well, what is it? She says, well, you know, she was gotten into these modeling agencies, and she was approached by a man who wanted to take her on for the Miss America pageant. And, you know, she wanted to get on air with this story. But the thing is, I had, you know, she didn't have anything solid on the president other than he's the director for the Miss America pageant. But these men that she had initial contact with were asking for sexual favors to get into the Miss America pageant. So that being said, I mean, there's a lot of nefarious shit going on, man. And, you know, did the president know of these men? Did he know them personally? Did he know what they were up to and what they were doing to these young ladies, you know, sexual favors and positionings for Miss America? You know, so there's a lot of questions. I never did get her on air because I didn't feel it was the right time. And okay. I lost contact with her, but, you know, it's something.
Well, I think in those circles, pay to play is the norm, right? Hollywood, beauty pageants, and, I mean, you know, buyer beware, caveat emptor. Raise your daughters right, and that'll never happen to them. Winning a beauty contest is a bit vain anyways. Not that I'm dismissing the victim aspect of, you know, them being preyed upon by these men. But I want to go back to what Giuseppe and then Hijacker doubled down on it as well. See, I don't buy the expanding the brand thing because it took a lot of money for him to win the Republican primary and a lot of money for him to win the presidential race. And that money came from somewhere and they weren't investing in the Trump brand. So I'm canceling out that theory unless somebody can just trump what I just said there.
I hope you're best interests in heart. Go ahead, Deacon. Or whoever it was that was in his talk.
Oh, it was me, Giuseppe. I could easily see a scenario where the Sheldon Adelson, who is the heir to the Meyer Lansky criminal fortune, gave an enormous donation to Trump. And there is no better hackers than the Israelis right now. And so it probably was a race to who could steal the election via hacking and the people backing Trump were better. I mean, I could easily see that as a scenario as well. But I don't know. I think that even with all that, I don't think Trump knew he would get in. I think the people who invested money in him, they can write that off. The people with that kind of money, that helps their overall tax burden or lack thereof. And so it's that kind of money to people like Sheldon Adelson is not a big deal. It's like me giving you $500. So it's not just, I mean,
you want my PayPal address?
Yes, of course. I do want to buy your books though. Are they on Amazon?
I'll send you a signed copy for $500. Yeah. I'll send you the URLs to Amazon. Yeah, and thank you very much. I put a lot of time and energy into writing these books. I've been a writer for 30 years. This isn't a hobby I just picked up yesterday. However, nonfiction, I call this deposition literature. I find a really good subject and I tell their story, and that's how I've made it as a writer. Nobody wanted to read what the hell I think about anything.
No, I mean, clearly I've heard your show a few times and you on the roundtables, and you're a brilliant guy, clearly. The way you tie all these things together,
right?
And the level of research you do is impressive. So I look forward to reading your books.
Oh yeah, you'll enjoy them. I mean, Stardust Ransa opens you up to the whole ET phenomenon. It's not being presented. It's interesting that sorry guys, 15 minutes left in the roundtable. I got to take a moment here. So it's one of the things that John Edmonds and I really wanted to convey in the book Stardust Ranch is that when you're thinking about extraterrestrials, don't think about disks in the sky and don't think about gray men or reptilians. Think about a thought you don't know where it came from. Okay? And this is the way to think about extraterrestrials. And lo and behold, you know, Stephen Greer comes out with Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, saying 6 months after we published our book, exactly what John Edmonds and I said. And Bigelow, I heard Bigelow interviewed the other day, and he was talking about, you know, contacting extraterrestrial races. And the interviewer said, is that why you're in the aerospace industry and going into space? He says, oh, you don't need a ship to contact extraterrestrials. They're all saying the same thing now, as though John Edmonds and I led the narrative. And this is what people need to understand, is that this ET thing is much more throw angels, demons, and extraterrestrials all into the same blender. It's stuff that speaks into human consciousness, and it's not your own thought. Okay? Where does inspiration come from? All of these sorts of things. That's the way to think about extraterrestrials. Believe it or not, even though I wrote this book, I'm not a huge ET guy. Yeah, I find the biblical scripture much more interesting, although there's an ET narrative to that as well. The second book, Light of Darkness. Yeah, you want to read that. You'll be sleeping with a light on reading that. I mean, that is the spookiest crap I've ever put down. I get into all the blood magic from a guy who's done ex-Navy SEAL, ex-CIA contractor, ex-Palo Mayombe priest. I mean, this guy's just got a PhD on the dark side. He flipped. His heart broke. Love came in. He flipped. He told the story. It's an amazing story. Light of Darkness, a warrior's tale for a time. Anyways, back on track. Back on topic. I don't think really that Trump is, I don't think he's the accident we're making him out to be now. I really don't. I think that a lot of time and energy went into getting Trump elected. If he didn't think he was going to be elected, he just didn't understand who was handling him well enough. That's what I say.
You're right. That's a valid point.
Yeah, no, he definitely does have a lot of Jewish Zionist muscle and money around him. But you're right. Based on the speeches that he gave all during during the campaign, you know, he treated it real seriously. He worked really hard. He was congruent, even in a reverse speech. But at the end of the day, I think he didn't actually believe he was going to win. But the people that were actually around him, they had figured on him winning. And so he was surprised at the end. And then he seemed to have enough muscle to survive all these different storms, the collusion, the impeachment, all the rest.
Sure. Well, that's because he's handing out favors and contracts. And I'll tell you how he gets reelected. Jared picks up the phone and calls Jared, you're in charge of the vaccine. Call BB and the boys, okay, and Sheldon, and let them know I've got more contracts for them. And oh, by the way, you want to kill all the blacks in the country? Have at it. I mean, being facetious, but I'm just saying that's kind of how the converse, that's how he's going to get reelected.
I think it would behoove black people to listen to Rev Radio. They're in the crosshairs and they don't know it. They don't know who they're dealing with. They have not. Louis Farrakhan's figured it out. They shut him down. They call him hate speech now. It's the most sensible voice I've heard coming out of the black community. But the black folk, they don't know what's going on, man. They don't know they've been targeted. They don't know it's open season on them, and they haven't figured it out. And I feel bad for them. People are afraid, oh, white people are going to, no. Just invert it. Like everything satanic, just invert it. So if you think all the white people are going to be killed, invert it. The real target is the black people. And you can see evidence of this, okay? The last interview that Bill Ryan did before he, you know, after he broke up with Kerry Cassidy, he interviewed this so-called insider from Britain, a guy named Charles, who was a fixer for the heavies in London. And he alluded to the race war that's coming. You look at Max Spears and James Casbolt, interviewed in 2012 by Kerry Cassidy at the first Super Soldier Summit. They said, what's on the Illuminati agenda? Race wars. I mean, Kerry Cassidy in the interview laughed out loud because Obama was in office, and they just looked at her and they said, you wait, you wait. And that's what we got to remember. These people are event driven. It's not clock driven. They're as patient as the sun and the moon. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. The other thing too is that what Trump brings to the table is white people under Obama wouldn't start the race war. They were few. They wouldn't do it. Right.
Yeah.
They're dormant. But I'll tell you what, for Trump, they'll kill a bunch of black people for Trump. Let me tell you right now, that's that Make America Great, isn't it? See what he's got holding his pocket. The only question is he holding that card in his pocket, and is he willing to play it, or has he played it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you listen to Bill, particularly Melinda Gates, she says, this is her quote, well, when we finally do get the vaccine, we only believe in light of everything that the African Americans have gone through, that they should have the right first to the vaccine. And so basically she was talking about giving the blacks first the vaccine.
So why do you think Trump let all this burn down, dudes, for the past 3 or 4 weeks or a month and not do anything?
Excellent question.
There you go. That's why. Melinda Gates put the two statements together. There's the deal that was struck to keep him in office.
Another possible scenario could be that his base that elected him in 2016 had really lost faith in him because he hadn't delivered on the nationalistic promises of bringing the troops home, of bringing real manufacturing back to the United States. And so now, by allowing this insane, satanic, demonic activity in this absolute anarchy, and don't you think that that is – who are you going to vote for now if you live in Utah? You're sure not going to vote for Joe Biden in support of all that. So maybe that's
now you know why Pence is there. This is to bring the white majority Christian culture and power structure into the kill blacks and into the new world order. Here we go. We'll take the Trump vaccine. We won't take yours, Mr. Gates, but we'll go ahead. The pastors are all recommending now. We'll take the Trump vaccine that Jared's going to develop and the military is going to give to you. So that's why he's in office.
Here's a number. So these are white evangelicals. So in February of this year, 78% of white evangelicals were for Trump. Now, the latest poll in the last couple of days, it's down 61%, almost a 20-point swing. So wow. Trump is definitely hurting among the white evangelicals.
Wow.
The other thing, too, is if Facebook is barometer at all, and it's not, white people, I have a couple thousand white folks that are my friends on Facebook, and they're ready to kill black people. They've had enough. See, so this is part of the re-election program, isn't it? I hate to say, and I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Before the clock runs out, I got to tip my hat to our man Hijacker here. He's been talking this Tucker Carlson thesis for, I don't know, several months now, and lo and behold, Politico does a full feature on Tucker Carlson, and not as vice president, but as a presidential candidate in 2024. So he is being groomed. The Republicans do see value in him. Well done, Jacker. But look, man, hey, don't let it go to your head. Even a stopped clock is right twice a day.
You know, what was it? Biden, that audio clip came out and said, oh, hello, I'm Joe Biden's husband, Joe Biden. You know, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, no.
They don't even want to win.
Right, it's either serious or real, or he's
no. They put him up as a stooge to lose on purpose, man. Go ahead.
Right. The Democrats are laying down. They're laying down. I mean, they couldn't find some 45-year-old Kennedy type personality with the perfect hair, says all the right things. I mean, there's 350 million people in that country. They're laying to put Joe Biden up there. They're laying down. They don't want the election. It's already cast in stone. Trump is being reelected.
Mm-hmm. I know he will be. I mean, I've called every president ever since George Bush Jr. I mean, and that was when I was old enough to begin to somewhat understand politics. But now, I mean, it's a completely different
idea. But if the stooge loses to the white supremacist racist at Mount Rushmore, doesn't that give the other side the moral high ground to start a real civil war? See what I'm saying? That's what their gambit is, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, but these people roll though, right? They don't like to break spiritual law, and so if you can incite the other side to become so dangerous and violent that it's justifiable to strike back, that's the way they rationalize stuff.
Let me just jump in here real quick, because Tones is saying on Friday on Deacon's show, he does say that the counter, especially too, if Trump puts Tucker Carlson as VP this time around in order to bring it a 50% of the vote that never voted, other words in. But so Tones says that the Democrats could think out of the box and do sort of a LeBron James or an Oprah Winfrey. And so what do we hear today?
Kanye West, yeah.
Yeah. And he's a supporter of Trump. And so they must know that Trump through this has lost a lot of the black vote. And so they put Conway up to actually running, splitting off that vote.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility, but...
I need one of you fine gentlemen to plug the station before we go to end of show here.
Yeah, Revolution Radio, this is cutting edge information. You're never going to hear people talk about this because they're gatekeepers. It doesn't matter if it's on another alternative network or an Alex Jones. They will only go so far. They're not going to talk about Zionist or institutional Satanism or, you know, these people, how they're bound together in their particular Kabbalist type religion or the real numbers. You're just not going to get it. The only way you get it is actually on, even though we're big in the sense of internet, but in the sense of networks, we're small. And they let us go. Sometimes I think we're a program. But anyways, we are listener supported. So if you can go to revolution.radio and throw us a few dollars, it would be helpful. And we're coming up to, I don't even think we got half the money yet. I don't even know. So I don't even want to say. But anyways, we are completely listener supported. So go to either freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and give us a few dollars. So there
fantastic.
You go.
Fantastic. Fantastic impromptu 2 hours, guys. Well done, man. I was really
And I think
impressed.
Watchman's on next.
Yeah. Tune in for the Watchman. He's got something to say. And, yeah, we've had a nice chat here. Stay tuned for Ghislaine Maxwell and what's going to happen there. It's going to be it's going to be like that episode of what was the show there, Dallas, with JR and everything. It's going to be like that, folks. It's going to be a ratings breaker. And there's the music. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.